Let's turn around and shake hands and fellowship one with another.
Praise the Lord, knows what we got to have.
In the business of doing great things, is he not? Amen. David, won't you tell everybody about what the Lord did for you and through you this week? Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't that great? Let's give the Lord praise for that. Amen. David is in faith this semester and had the privilege of taking what he's learned and use it to win others to the Lord. This past Tuesday, yesterday, I had the privilege Candy's up there in the balcony. I had the privilege yesterday of leading her daughter and her boyfriend to the Lord, and they're supposed to be her son. Isn't that great? Praise the Lord for that. So I thank the Lord for being in the saving business and so many other things. Good to have all of you here. Those that are visiting with us, we're so glad you're with us tonight. This is our missions month, and on Wednesday nights in November, we recognize different missionaries and have them with us, and we're privileged tonight to have one of our own. David and Wendy, and we'll be introducing them to you in just a little while. But let's pray now and ask the Lord to continue to move so many needs in the service. We'll be having our prayer time, sharing special needs with you. But we want to pray now and ask the Lord to move. Father, we thank you now for the dear lady that got saved in the nursing home. Thank you for that. And then for Amber, Sam, that got saved. We thank you for that. And then for all the other things you're doing, we ask you, Lord, to continue to move and to bless and work. And Lord, you have done great things. And what is so thrilling is you are even doing greater things, and we thank you for it. Now, bless this service tonight, and keep us burdened about missions and winning others to the Lord through others. Bless the service now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue to sing.
Trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey. Shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says, fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Thank you. You may be seated. We're doing things a little bit different. We'll be taking our offering at the end of the service. So you pray about your giving tonight, and it all goes to our missionary. But good to have all of you that are with us in the service. Let's have our special song, and then right after that, we'll introduce Brother Cloud to you.
In the
Praise the Lord. Let me just make one announcement real quickly. Debbie Smith needs several people to donate or purchase flat white sheets for the Christmas program. I think that's not Sunday night, but Sunday night week. That's for the little ones. And I think it's to make angels out of them. And so if you can help in that, we'd appreciate it so much. It's been a good year. Thinking about missions in November, we just try to remind you of missions and introduce you to missionaries and different ways that God uses people in the work of missions. But this has been a good year for us in missions. And I had the figures, and I forgot to write them down. But Bobby, what was 121,000? What was it, Pat? You probably know. Bobby don't know. What is it? Huh? It's something over 121,000. And that was a record year for us. That's what we gave to missions this year. And I think we ought to give praise the Lord for that. It's been great. Praise the Lord. And every year it's been going up. And it's enabled us to do more and give more to missions. And all the way around, we've seen that it's, and I mean this by my heart, missions is a mandate. That's not optional. We don't support missionaries because so-and-so does it. We do it because the Bible commands us to do it. And I've found through the years that the more we do for missions, the more the Lord blesses us here. In fact, just we were running figures and going, our church year goes from October to October. But this past year, this blew my mind when Rhonda showed me the figures. Our contributions went over $1 million in this past year, and that is by far a record. And I read that. I remember someone, I first came here, first two or three years, a little rocky, but I remember a fella stopped me out on the corner out there. Our offerings were running about $3,200 a week at the time, and he said, "I'm leaving and taking my money, and some others are too. You're going to go under here." And I thought about that when I saw those figures. God's work, God takes care of His work, doesn't He? Amen? And one of the reasons it's been such a phenomenal year for us, and it's just been going up every year for a number of years. And one of the reasons I'm absolutely convinced is because our mission giving has been going up as well. And I praise the Lord for it. And one of the things we're blessed with here is the Lord has entrusted us with several missionaries. I thank the Lord for the missionaries God has given us as our own, and the Murdochs and the Gants and the Ramseys, and of course the Denises are here tonight, and Karen and other all the other missionaries the Lord has really blessed us with. And we have one with us tonight, and that's David and Wendy Cloud. And many of you haven't really got to know David and Wendy, and I wanted you to get to know them because they're a real blessing. And I remember Terry went to school with them, and he came back and kept telling me about David Cloud, how much he liked David. And Terry said, "I'm trying to get him to come to the church. I'm working on him, trying to get him to come." And then David started coming by and praying about different things and was very honest and open about being a part here. He said, "I just won't just come and walk in where they think I'm just coming in, won't help." I said, "No, he just has a good heart. And the Lord has called him to Brazil. And I want David to come." And let's show David and Wendy how much we appreciate him. Glad to have them as one of our own. And he'll bless you tonight.
Thank y'all for having us tonight. Appreciate you letting us come tonight. I was raised in a Christian school, and I was going over something with my daughter the other day, and somebody had a good idea for catechisms. I always thought that was a Catholic thing, but somewhere around fourth, fifth grade, we had these catechisms, and catechism was where the teacher would say, "Who made you?" And you know how kids are, "God made me." Genesis 1:27, I guess it was. "What else did God make?" "God made me in all things." Well, yeah. And our kids just sit there belting things back at you. Our daughter was in her first Thanksgiving program the other day, and she just stood there top of her lungs singing. And, you know, that's the things I remember. The third one in our catechism list was, "Why did God make you in all things?" "God made me in all things for His own glory." That's pretty simple. Well, what are we going to do with that? If I made a dog, or if I had a dog and I trained my dog, or if I had made a robot or something, for my own glory, I'd want that thing to do what I want it to do. I'd program it and say, "Here's what I want you to do." Well, God gives us an instruction manual called the Bible, and He tells us, do what's in it. That's what I want you to do. It's pretty simple. But the neat thing is, He's got something different for every one of us. Everybody's got a different mission. And when we talk about going to Brazil, it's not that Brazil is this great, needy country so much more than any other country. That's just where God has directed us. That's where He wants us. This nation right here, there are other countries sending missionaries to this country. There are multiple countries around the world that are in dire need of the gospel. And that's our job as Christians, not just missionaries, but all Christians. It says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. So I'll give you a quick update on who we are, and what we're doing. I'm David. This is my wife, Wendy, back here. We've got Michaela and Mackenzie with us tonight, and my brother Daniel came by. I appreciate him coming. He grew up with me. He still said he'd come listen to me once. But he said once. That was it. So I appreciate him coming. The other two are under runny noses, so we left them at Grandma's. But we didn't set up the display or anything tonight, but we do appreciate what this church has done for us so far. It's been tough to get to know some of y'all because we're here for a week, and then we're gone for a month, and then we're here for a Wednesday night, and then we're gone for two Sundays. And it's just in and out, but that's the way the deputation process works. Doesn't say we have to like it, but that's the way it works. And so the Lord has been blessing us while we're on the road. He's met all of our needs. We are at about 25% of our support. We'll be hitting the road full-time come January, and we're shooting for 75%, the other 75% next year, and we believe the Lord can do it. And that'll put us on the field in about January of 2003. We've got the opportunity coming up in December 29th of this year. We're going to be going down for 2 weeks to Brazil, and we're going to be able to be in several different services and operate a camp down there. We're going to have New Year's Eve camp, so you can imagine what kind of shape we'll be in. We're going to travel 24 hours to get there, have 12 hours rest, and then a two-day camp. And so y'all pray for us that the kids will make it through it. I know we'll make it through it, but the kids may have to get some drugs or something to put in them. But we've also got the opportunity to take a couple of cases of Bibles with us, so we're going to get those lined up and be able to take those down. And just be an encouragement to the missionaries. A lot of times they don't have anybody coming through in the holidays. Some of them that are on furlough, they're not down there. And so we're going to try to just, it'll be our survey trip, basically. We'll be able to find out a lot of things that we're going to need to know when we move back down there, what we're going to need to take, what we're going to need to buy. And, you know, sometimes we get sidetracked with all this stuff. And here we are on this side getting rid of stuff because it's just stuff. It's just, you know, stuff. And, you know, we're trying to get rid of it. But then when you look at getting down there and surviving, you know, I need to know whether I need to take a microwave or whether my wife's going to beat corn on a rock or something, you know, to cook. But there's a lot of things that we just, they're opening up and they're getting to where they've got more stuff down there that we can get that'll make her life easier, and as well as homeschooling for kids and so forth. So we're looking forward to that trip, and we're looking forward to God just reigniting our burden for the work that we're going to be involved there. Initially, we're going to be working in a camp ministry. It's called Camp Maranatha. It's about 25 years old. It was started by Bob Doolittle. Your pastor knows Brother Bob. They've been down there about 35 years as missionaries, and we're going to be working out at the camp. We'll be able to live on the camp property and go to language school and be involved in the ministry all at one time, so we won't have to spend a year in Sao Paulo going to language school and so forth. So that's going to be my toughest thing, I think, is learning that Portuguese. But God said what he wants us to do, he'll provide the way to do it. I know that's paraphrased. That wasn't King James. But anyway, we just appreciate y'all having a part in the ministry and everything that the Lord's going to do through this church and then through us and through all y'all's other missionaries. Tonight I'm going to talk a little bit out of Isaiah chapter 6. And you say, well, I've read that before, and every other missionary that comes through here has preached out of that. And the fact is, there are those that argue that Isaiah chapter 6 deals with home missions. Well, the fact is missions. If you're involved in it here at home, God bless you. If you're not, you don't have to worry about being called in foreign missions. If you're involved in missions on this side, soul winning, being involved in the faith ministry and so forth, then you might have to be worried or concerned that God might call you to foreign missions. But if you're not doing the job on this side, you don't have to worry about being called into foreign missions. About a year ago this time, we had a friend that offered to make us some prayer cards. And I said, well, you know, I hadn't really thought a whole lot about it, but I guess I better get a picture and get everything. And he said, you might want to put a verse on there. And we were in a bit of a hurry, and he said, just, you know, give me a verse. I said, well, you know, here am I, send me. That's a good missionary verse. You know, it was real. I put a lot of prayer into that one, you can tell. And I thought, well, if this thing's going to be on my card, I better study up on it. Well, the next six missionary cards I saw had the same verse on it. I thought, well, I'm cheating. I'm stealing somebody else's verse. But I called him. He says, it's already gone to press. You're too late. So I thought, well, I better at least study up and find out what that is. So I went to the concordance and find out where the verse was and then started studying. So if y'all stand tonight, we'll read. I know you're needing exercise, but we'll read Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto the other and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the thongs from off of the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the day that you've given to us, the beautiful weather, the opportunity to come into your house and have freedom of speech and religion. Pray that you'll just help me to get out of the way and that you'll speak through me, and that the word spoken tonight will touch somebody's heart, and that you'll just keep us all humble and see our need for improvement. Help this church, bless it for all it's doing for you, in Jesus' name, amen. You can imagine my surprise tonight when the screen went up. I thought the pastor had a big screen up here, and he just stood here and read the sermon. And so I was waiting for y'all to have all the points back here, and I'd just read you a sermon. Not really. Isaiah here had just gone through the countryside preaching woes to all the people, saying, Woe unto them that call evil good, and woe unto them that are given to strong drink, and all the different woes. And then God gave him I say God had show and tell with Isaiah. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. You know, when was the last time we even thought about seeing God high and lifted up? We have a tendency to pick up the book and we say, well, God, you know, speak to me today. Give me something out of this so I can say I had devotions. But Isaiah just had this vision. He had the opportunity to see God high and lifted up. Sometimes I wonder if we saw God high and lifted up, how would that impact our ministry? How would that impact the way we live? You know, we tend to see baby Jesus around Christmas time and around Easter. We see how brutally killed Jesus was on the cross and so forth. But the fact is, when we see Jesus, that's not the Jesus we're going to see. We're going to see Jesus coming back as the Lord of all. He's going to be the judge. And we're going to have to stand before that or bow before that, whatever we're going to be doing, probably crying our eyes out because we know that we have not done everything that we were supposed to be doing. But if we could see him high and lifted up, we might change the way we are living down here. But as a result of seeing God high and lifted up, Isaiah said he had to do some changes. First thing he did was he said, Woe is me. He'd been preaching woes to all the people. Now he had to preach to himself. So it wasn't that he was an unsaved man, that he was living in sin. He was a man in ministry. But yet he still looked at his life and said, Woe is me. First thing he did is he had a time of confession. Well, when we talk about confession, I'm reminded of the pastors. There was four pastors. They always met every Monday morning over at the local restaurant, and they would have a time of fellowship. Finally, one of them said, you know, we're spiritual leaders of this community. We need to have a time of confession among ourselves. They all agreed to it, and the first guy said, well, you know, I got to confess, when I go deer hunting, and it's obvious that I'm not going to get anything, I like to smoke a pipe. I like to sit up there in that tree and just enjoy that smell of that pipe, whatever he was pipe smoking. And they all, The next guy, he said, well, you know, me and my wife, we've been going to Florida for vacation every summer for the last several years. And on Wednesday night, instead of going to church, we'd go off and take in a movie. That's the only movie we go see all year. And I preach long and hard against the movies on Sunday, but me and the wife go and we take in a movie. They go, The third guy, he said, well, you know, back in my unregenerate days, you know, I like to gamble. And I found these guys down the road here, and we go down in his basement about once a month, and we have a good time gambling. Now, I just use a little bit of money, so, you know, it's not hurting anything, but I like to gamble. The fourth guy sitting there just shaking his head, and they say, it's your turn. Oh, no, I'm not ready for this. They said, well, no, you've got to. We all did it. It's your turn. He said, well, you know, I got a problem with gossip. I just can't wait to get out of here. And when Isaiah was talking about confession, that's not the type of things he was doing. When he had a confession, he confessed of a specific area of sin in his life. He said, woe is me, for I'm undone, for I'm a man of unclean lips. He knew that out of the heart is what man speaks. And he may have been going around speaking these woes out of his own desire to see people convicted, instead of preaching it out of a word from God. We don't know exactly, but the fact is, he had a time of confession. Well, there's times in our life we look at and we say, we need a time of confession. You know, when I start looking at doing something for God and things aren't going well, a lot of times I got to stop and back up and look at it and say, God, why aren't things going well? Why is this seeming to be moving so slow and whatever it is? And he's like, well, maybe you've got something in your life. And it's usually the Holy Spirit just picks it up and clicks it out, and there it is. It's just we don't want to deal with it a lot of times. A lot of times our confession may be having to go back to somebody we work with that we haven't been living a Christian life like we ought to around. There's all kind of different things that we have time that we need to take and confess. But 1 John 1:9 tells us that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Second thing is down there, he said, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, this is verse 6, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off of the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also, okay, we'll stop there. He said he had a time of cleansing. That sin being purged was when he was cleansed. He was cleansed with the coal off the altar. Well, the altar is where they offered sacrifices. We know that the ultimate sacrifice was paid on the cross when Jesus died. And it was his sacrifice that cleanses us, that purges us. And we have forgiveness of sin through that. But it was Isaiah's cleansing came with that coal from off of the altar. In verse 1 John 1:9, it says, we confess our sins, he will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we know that when we have a time of confession, God will then cleanse us. He said that, you know, he said right there and that he will. But we have to get the cleansing after the confession. God's not just going to come along and cleanse us. He's already paid the price, but it has to be applied to us individually. So Isaiah said he had a time of confession and he had a time of cleansing. The third thing in verse 8, he said, also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Isaiah was standing back there. I don't picture him saying, yeah, let's see, nobody else is raising that. I guess I'll go. Here am I. I'll go. I think Isaiah was back there. He's just seen Jesus high and lifted up. He has seen a vision that very, very few ever had the opportunity to see. And he was jumping up and down. He is like, he's already in ministry. God had convicted him. He'd been cleansed. And now he's like, hey, let me go. Let me go. I figure he's jumping up and down. Let me go. I'll go. Here am I. Send me. A lot of times when we're talking about missions, you know, we grow up in a church and so forth, and it's like, you know, you hear about missionaries in Africa and China and all these places, and you're thinking, boy, that's great for them, you know, but God, just don't send me there. I never anticipated God sending us to Brazil. I was even given the opportunity to go down there on short-term trips, and I'd come back, and people say, when you going back? I'm saying, if I went back, I'd be out of God's will. If I went back right now, it'd be just of my own doings right now, and I'd be more out of God's will to try to go than if I stayed here. But when God made it obvious to us that that's what he wanted, then it became a clear thing. We say, well, God, you said you'll give us the desires of our heart. Well, then all of a sudden he starts making the desire of our heart to be in a particular area and doing a particular work, and it happens to be somewhere else. It happens to be in Brazil, and that's tough, you know, because you look at all the things saying, you know, like David Livingston, sever any tie, save the tie that binds me to thy heart. But then we wonder, are we really willing to pray that? Are we really willing to say, sever any tie? You know, leaving family is probably the toughest thing. You know, you can get away from cultural things and, you know, you can be okay. But then you also know that the family is just a thing that we've got while we're here on earth. When we get to heaven, our family is just going to increase huge because we're all a part of the family of God. And all of us that are saved, not all of us. I'm sorry, there may be somebody here who's not, and you need to get that right tonight. But when we talk about going and leaving things, when you start viewing it in eternity, it's not a big deal. It doesn't make it any easier necessarily on your wife and kids and yourself, but yet it does make it something you know you can get through. And so Isaiah said he had a confidence, and we have a confidence. You know, we look at it and we say, man, we know there's going to be tough times. We know that it's not going to be easy, but we know that we've confessed the sin in our life. We know that we have been cleansed and we are going to heaven, that we've got eternity looking at us, you know, any old time now. And the thing we need to be doing is have that confidence just to go out there and know that we're going to be able to do a work for the Lord and that He will give us the increase. Our job as Christians is to go and plant and water. God gets the increase. But we need to be out there planting and watering and sowing and then go out there for the harvest. And the fourth thing we said there is verse 9. And He said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. This was His commission. He was confessed, He was cleansed, He was confident, and now He was commissioned. And Isaiah was commissioned by God. God said, go. Well, we've been commissioned by God. In the New Testament, we were told, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And that's to every one of us. Everyone who has been saved is supposed to be going. You say, well, I'm 10 years old. I'm not going to be able to go in and tell Mama I'm going to Africa tomorrow. No, but you can go to your school. And then you can go to your college. You can go to your job. If you're shut in, you can go to the telephone. But you can go some way, somehow. Paul talked to the Christians in the first part of Acts there, said that your faith is known throughout the world. And we say, well, the world wasn't as big back then, or the populated part of the world wasn't as big back then. But these were people living with primitive methods, and their faith was known throughout the world. Here we are living in an age of information with the internet and with all the different things. There's no reason that we shouldn't have touched everybody in this world. But there are still those who don't have internet access and stuff like that. And there are still the need to go to some of these jungle places, some of these remote places where there's lots of people. They just don't have the things that we have. And I think it was Jim Elliot that said, why should we have the opportunity to hear the gospel over and over and over when there are those who haven't heard it the first time? And so we have been commissioned, just like Isaiah was commissioned, to go and tell these people. And so when we study the Bible, you know, that's one thing we were taught back in school. You know, you can read the Bible all you want to, and you can encourage your kids to read the Bible through in a year and all these different things. But it was quite a while before it dawned on me that reading the Bible wasn't going to do me a whole lot of good until I started applying it. Until I was willing to apply this word, if we believe that the Bible is a living word, and that it applies to us today, then we need to be living it. We need to be applying it. So when I read this stuff and started studying it, I got down through there. I thought, man, this is neat stuff. Then I finished verse 9. And it said, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. And then it talks about how Isaiah found out from the beginning he was going to do all this preaching, and he was going to have an unfruitful ministry. I thought, well, that's kind of lame. You know, Noah preached for 120 years. I bet he still figured he was going to have somebody to take on that ark with him other than his family. But he had been called to a ministry, and he preached, and he preached, and he preached. He was doing what God told him to do. God has said that he will get the increase, but we've got to go out and do the job that he has called us to. I may go out there and preach and preach and do everything that I can that the Lord wants me to do and have the people's hearts cold. I mean, just like Isaiah, it said the make the heart of this people fat and make their ears heavy and then shut their eyes. You know, it sounds like a way that a lot of us live nowadays. We shut our ears to what's going on around us. We don't worry about it. We're happy with us four and no more and all the wonderful things that we've got, but we don't worry about the rest of the world. So when I started studying this, God did convict me, and I had to have a time of confession. I had to confess that there were things that, you know, I was trying to go out and do, but, you know, activity is a poor substitute for being committed and doing exactly what the Bible's telling us to. God wants our worship first. He wants our obedience. He wants us, and then he'll let us go do things. But if we just go out here and start trying to do things, then things are going to go wrong. And so I had to confess of things like that. I had to have a time of cleansing and actually tell the devil to get out of the way. You know, God says, you know, the devil is going to come before God, saying, you know, look at this guy, look what he's doing. He's accusing us day and night. But Jesus is able to stand there and say, hey, look, you know, I've cleansed this guy. He's covered. I have a confidence, you know, not in what I can do, but the Bible says being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Well, God started a good work in me many years ago. Sometimes it's hard to put a finger on the exact date, but I know that I've been saved. I know that I've been baptized, and I know that Jesus lives in my heart, and that he has commissioned me, and that I'm confident that he's going to use me. I was 16 years old when I was at the Bill Rice Ranch and told God anything he wanted to do with my life, he was welcome to do it. Of course, then I put on a preference there and said, you know, but if I had my preference, I'd like to be a youth pastor. I'd like to work with youth. I'd had an awesome youth pastor. I thought he was great. He'd had an impact on my life. And I thought if I could impact one other young person's life like that, that would be great. That would be it. That would be the way to go. And so, God, if you're taking, you know, orders or, you know, preferences, I'd like to do that. Well, it was 10 years before God put me in a position to work with young people. I was 26 years old. But the Lord opened the door. Now, I don't know how I intended to be a youth pastor when I didn't like getting up in front of people. I'd rather cut the grass than be in the Sunday school class teaching. I'd rather be under a bus than on a bus. I'd rather do anything but get in front of people. But God, he opened the door, kicked me in it, shut it behind me. And so here I was, and the Lord used that. I believe there is one young person that I've had an impact on. Not me, but God, through our ministry, allowed us to touch at least one. And there may be others that we didn't touch. And there may be some that we touched that we just don't know about. But I thought, well, God, this is what I really wanted to do. I tried to go back to college. I thought, well, I need to get a degree. I need a piece of paper to hang on my wall, to put in my resume, to send out to these churches. One of these years when I'm, you know, got some experience and somebody looking for a full-time guy. You know, I was bivocational. I thought that'd be it. But God wouldn't let me go back to school. If everything just fell through, I couldn't go back to school. We came back from Brazil the summer of 99. We'd taken some young people down. Thought it was good for them to get the view of missions. God, you know, work on these young people. Just open their eyes to missions. Let them see what they need to do as far as missions. Well, it backfired. God got a hold of us. He opened our eyes. He said, this is where I want you. I want you down here serving me. And so I went back, and everything just clicked. I was able to go into college. I went in there. Yeah, I need a piece of paper to be able to show to churches and mission boards and stuff like that. But after about the first 2 weeks of class, I realized that that was the wrong reason for being there. But I was glad God had opened the opportunity for me to be there and to go to school. That's where I met Terry. And I knew y'all's church was here. This church has been here all my life, I reckon. But I met Terry and got to talking to him, and I guess we cut up a little bit more than we ought to, but we still, if y'all think seminary and you think boring and people sitting there, you know, with scrolls laid out, and, you know, that wasn't what it was like for us. We had a good time. We learned a lot and really had a good time of worship and fellowship in school, which I didn't know you're supposed to do that at school. We may not have supposed to, but we did anyway, and we had a good time. And that's how we met Terry and met your pastor and met some of y'all. Some of y'all we've known for 20 years. And so we just appreciate y'all opening up and taking us in and treating us like you do, and we appreciate that. But when I said, God, you know, I wanted to work with young people, he started opening up and said, you're still going to be working with young people. It's just going to be in a different culture. It's going to be in a different place. But the fact is, God wants us to be obedient, and then he will allow us to do the desires of our hearts, because he'll put the desires there. And so everything that I'd ever prayed for, the Lord is opening our eyes to see that that's exactly what we're doing. That's exactly where we're at. There are things that we look at and we say, well, we'd like this to be different. And what he wants different is the attitude of my heart. He wants me to be different. He wants me to view it different. And so I appreciate y'all letting us be here tonight and share this. I'm going to turn it back to the pastor. He can close as he sees fit.
Excellent. Let's stand to our feet, if you would, please. Get your prayer sheet. We're going to look at that. Good thoughts. Wasn't that a blessing tonight? Or a blistering? One of the two? Excellent. Very good thoughts. And we're going to come in a moment and let the Lord work these things into our heart. And I appreciate Brother David. Again, good thoughts the Lord give us tonight. Your prayer sheet, of course, our missionary of the week tonight is David and Wendy. And if you haven't got to know the Clouds, get to know them. As he said, they're on the road a lot raising their deputation, but you want to get to know them and meet them. But we're going to lift them up tonight in prayer Church of the Week is Trinity Baptist Church in Chickamauga, Georgia, and Pastor Oscar Stapp. And we want to remember them this week as our Church of the Week. And then remember the hospital, Margaret Browner, and Irma Whitfield's sister, and Catherine Holmes, also Lucille Holmes' sister. And then, of course, Irma went home this week. And then we received a call at the house just before I came to church tonight. I don't know much of the details or whatever there, but my dad had a heart attack today or last night, and they were airlifting him to Carolina Medical Center, so we don't know any of the details, what is going on. We hope to find out something and get back tonight. But put Dad on your prayer list and remember him. And also, as you'll notice at the bottom there, of course, I mentioned Sunday, Ronnie Majunk and his father passed away. Also, Betsy Cleaver, her grandmother, passed away. And I want to remember Betsy. They'll be receiving friends after 4 o'clock tomorrow at Wilson's, and then the funeral will be on Friday. And I spoke to Betsy today and assured her that we would be praying for her. So we want you to remember these special things. And then I'm sure many of you got a letter from me today, and I'm going to be sharing with you more and more, communicating with you more and more as we move along, so you're knowing where we're at and different things. And also in our Wednesday night services, began to lay prayer requests before you, so we began to pray about things and ask the Lord to meet certain needs. We're excited about where we're going, and hopefully, in fact, our church design consultant architect will be flying in on the 29th, and will be bringing me the first drawings that we'll have and the first things that I can actually show you what we're doing. So Lord willing, the last Sunday night of this month, I'm going to be able to share with you, and you're going to be able to see for the first time what we're considering doing, what we're praying about doing. But a lot of things are happening, and a lot of things we want you to be praying about. One of the things I mentioned in the letter, if you received it today, is about our parking need. And we're learning a lot of things, and a lot of things are going on. One of the needs we know is additional parking, and we're working on that. We would have already paved some land now if it were not for the fact we're into this building program. So we want everything to flow together and work together. And so a civil engineer is helping us to determine that, do the drawings on that, or we would have already added parking at this point. But we want to do what is right and use every penny wisely in adding the parking there. But we're learning with the building we're going to build that code is going to require us to have a minimum of 460 parking spaces, which will be a little more than double than what we have. We have 263 parking spaces right now. We'll lose 43 in the building there. And so we're asking you to and want you to help us to pray that the Lord will help us to get additional land. We closed on the house over here today, so the little gray house on the corner is actually ours now. But we can imagine we have to double what we have, and so we got a lot of land we got to get. And so I want you to begin praying that the Lord will. My heart is encouraged tonight. It's been a little discouraging this week. I'm thinking about where we're going to get all the land, whatever there, different things, looking at this and things. I came down today, and I've been visiting neighbors and going here and saying, would you be interested in selling? We'd like to buy and whatever there. And of course, one of the things I have prayed for so long is to be able to buy this property next door, or at least get half of it. If they wouldn't sell the front part, at least sell the back part to us. And so we could use that for parking. And that's been like a dead end for me, and like a wall. But today I went down the street, talked to people and this, that, and the other, and told them we'd done put them in God's hands and they better do what is right and all that kind of stuff. Everything, you name it. But I started going to my office, and I said, I'm going to go over here and see this man. So I walked over here, went in his office, and I said, I come in, I just want to find out. I said, we've been praying. I told you once before, we're praying, and we need that land. He said, let's walk outside. And so my meeting with him this afternoon, I think we're going to be able to get this back part over here. So pray. That's something we've been praying about. So essential. But he's going to be talking about it over the weekend. So that is an answer to prayer. And so keep on praying that we get that. It'll be so critical to us. And we get that, and then we're well on our way. Our sails are up and we're moving. But just keep praying. All of these things be praying for, and that God will bless. All of you that will, let's come and gather down the altar. Let's pray for our missionary of the week and the clouds tonight, our church of the week, and then the hospital list tonight. Pray for needs and specifically tonight. This is what I'm asking you to pray for tonight specifically. And that is that God will give us this property beside us. And Louie, you pray that God will continue to work this today. I was so encouraged when I left. But let's pray tonight. Join with me now, leaders, teachers, all of you, members. That is so critical to our future. So pray that God will keep on working. And what I had thought been a dead end, and sometimes I have said, can God? But I'm learning to say God can. But let's make that a matter of prayer, that over this weekend, that God will continue to work in the owner's heart, and we'll be able to get that. And so let's remember these things. And then as Brother David has shared with us tonight, let's ask God to work these truths in our heart. Father, in Jesus' name, as we come to you tonight, we come to thank you for the word of God we've heard tonight. What a blessing, Lord, the word has been to my heart, and the truth of God that has been shared to us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for speaking tonight, for speaking to me. I thank you for it. And I do, Lord, want to be where you can use me. I want to be right. I want to be clean. I want to be committed, Lord, that you might commission and use me for your honor and glory. Lord, may we as a church be where we can be used of you. And may we always do that which is according to your word. And may we always follow you. May we always listen to you. May we always obey you. And I know, Lord, if we'll do that, then you'll use us. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the church. Thank you, Lord, for this great year, for the people that have been added to the church this year, a record year in additions to our congregation. Thank you, Lord, for how you've blessed us financially, a record year. Thank you, Lord, for what we've been able to do for missions, a record year. Lord, so many things tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the plans you've given us and the vision you've given this church, not only to build in the future, but to build for the future. We thank you, Lord, for how you're working every little detail out there. And Lord, we come tonight and just thank you for these things. Now, Father, we pray for David and Wendy. Thank you for them. Thank you for the call of God in their life. Thank you, Lord, for the work you put them into. Father, we ask you to bless them. Father, as he steps out by faith and begins to go full-time, meet every need. Father, help him to raise the 75% that he needs. Bless and provide. Open doors. Bring him in contact with the churches that will be able to help him. For all of our missionaries out of our church, bless them. Father, we pray tonight for Trinity Baptist. We pray you will bless them and do a wonderful work there. God, may the hand of God be upon them. May they see wonderful things happen. You are a God that does great and mighty things. Would you bless Trinity Baptist Church, our sister church in the area? Then for the special request. And then, Lord, we pray tonight that you would give us the property next door. You know how we've trusted you and asked you for it. And this is your work. We're just doing, Lord, not trying to do anything just to be doing. Lord, we're just trying to do what you've called us to do. Trying to do what you tell us to do as a church. We're just trying to reach people and trying to discipleship people and disciple people and teach them how to win others and go out and see people saved and come in on Sunday and worship you and give you glory. Father, we're just trying to do your will. And I know, Lord, that you'll meet our needs. So we ask you tonight, particularly, Lord, to give us this particular piece of property beside us here that would be so, would meet so many needs. All the other things, Lord, we've been praying about working on, they'd all be met in one piece of property. So this is your work. These are your plans. And so we give it to you and ask you to meet it tonight. Thank you again for your goodness to us, for all you're doing. Lord, this Thanksgiving season, we have a lot to be thankful for, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you thankful that God let you be a part of Temple Baptist? Say amen tonight. The Lord is good to us. I want our ushers to come. You appreciate Brother David and Wendy and the work God has called them into. You say amen, would you? I appreciate them so much. I want to give you a chance to give. And you give tonight into the missions and all of it. We'll give to Brother David and Wendy. All of our missionaries, our families, the ones that we have right here that are ours. We've sent them a special gift for Christmas this year and a special gift over and above our regular support to them. And they'll be receiving that in a few weeks here. But I want you to give tonight. I know the Lord will bless you for it. Father, again, bless the offering tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. let's all stand to our feet. Maybe real quickly, somebody wants to give praise to the Lord for something. This is Thanksgiving season, and maybe you want to give thanks tonight for something in your life, for something God has done for you. Anybody, quickly. Amen. Pray for Mike. He heads out for Haiti next week. Or Puerto Rico. Remember Mike. We praise the Lord for watching over him. Somebody else want to give thanks to the Lord? Yes, I thought about them today. Been praying for all of our folks serving the Lord, and or not serving the Lord, but serving our country and away from their families this time of the year. And I'm appreciative. You know how much I love veterans and those who serve our country. Let's remember them, and I thank the Lord for them tonight. Mary? Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Quickly. God's been so good to us, Brenda. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. He's been good to you. Bless that family. Anyone else? We'll give thanks to the Lord for something. Oh, yes. Amen. Amen. He really has done a lot here this past year. Been amazing. Thank the Lord. Kim? Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Bless you, Susan. Amen. Bless you, Edith. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Anyone else? Amen. Amen. Any others? Praise the Lord. Again, this is my special prayer request. Pray that the Lord gives us this next door. And pray the Lord will really work there. Today was the first time I'd ever got my foot in the door. And I get my foot in the door, I'm going the rest of the way through. You mark that down. But remember, pray for that. Pray for that. I really believe God is about to give that to us. And so you keep on praying. Be back Sunday. Let's come anticipating a great day in the Lord. You're dismissed. You go by and speak to David and Wendy and let them know how much you love them and that you're praying for them.